This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. You're listening to the best of the Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
So, Jack and Dean.
Hi.
Are you boys ready for Position Impossible?
I'm ready for it. I want to hear the theme tune.
Position Impossible.
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah, was that what you were expecting?
That's what I wanted, exactly.
You are welcome. I have delivered. Okay, so the way that this game goes is that I've got a list of sex positions. Some of them are real, some of them are fake.
Right.
And you have to figure out...
Do we have to perform them?
I mean, it's radio.
My back hurts, genuinely.
Oh, but speaking of performing, for drunk advice later, which please tweet and email in your questions if you need advice, hannah@fubarradio.com, we will be on Facebook Live. So on FUBAR Radio's Facebook page, so you'll be able to see us then. And that's for the last half hour of the show.
Lucky
but
you.
But back to Position Impossible. Are you ready? No. wrong button. Did I not press that
one? I wanted to press the theme tune again.
It's number five.
Can I do it?
Yeah.
Can I say back to Position Impossible?
Back to Position Impossible.
Position Impossible.
Yeah, you happy?
That's my favourite.
Oh, just Jack and his toys.
I've hit the top of the show. I've hit the high point of the show.
Oh, God, we're only 40 minutes in of a 2-hour show. Okay, so you ready? So you have to guess whether it's real or fake. And then if you think it's real, you have to describe what it would be.
Who's keeping points?
I'm keeping score.
Okay,
I'm quiz master.
It's about taking part.
We'll see about
though?
That.
Okay, so the first one is the whistle. I feel like this is going to go really well.
My immediate thought is that it's real.
Yeah.
Is that yours as well?
Yeah, I think so.
What do you think it is?
I think
how does it?
I think it's that you pull someone's foreskin out.
Oh, what?
Oh, dude, come on.
And then you just sort of like blow it up like a frog's neck.
Oh god.
I just thought like a woman stood like a wheelbarrow. And you sort of go into town, but it's like a little whistle. So it's like an actual whistle.
And you play
so
it like
you're
a trumpet.
Playing her.
Yeah.
Just covering
like a clarinet.
Covering the different holes, making a different sound. Jesus. Well, you're both wrong.
Aww.
It is fake. Okay. I mean, you can totally do that and call it the whistle. Maybe we coin something.
Yeah, I mean, I was just about to say, I'll see about
one.
That.
I don't know. It's not real yet.
Okay, the next one is called the trunk.
The trunk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that sounds similar. Like, I'm just, it's because it's they're all penis things in my head, like things you can blow.
Oh god, yeah, you're so right.
But also, trunk is also a word that people use for a woman's bottom when you've got junk in the trunk.
Oh yes.
The trunk. I'm gonna go with fake though.
Okay.
Because I don't imagine what that could be.
Dean.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with fake because I don't think elephants were involved or anything. So
we hope not. It's real?
It's real!
Whoa! Wait, tell me it's the foreskin thing.
So guess what it is.
The trunk. Okay.
I think the going with the ass thing is a good way to to go.
Mm-hmm.
The Dean's eyes.
Is it something simple? Just like sitting on a man's face or something?
It's not simple.
Okay.
I have an image of it here. Doesn't look easy.
Okay.
For the man. Doesn't look easy for the person with the penis. The person inserting.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, okay.
So the inserter and the insertee.
Okay, so inserting into a trunk. I genuinely can't even think.
Okay, so the person with the
I'm
penis is
creative.
Upside down.
Okay.
And there's a wall. And there's a wall involved.
Are they doing like a headstand?
Yes.
And then they're just backing up into it?
Yeah, so it's like a backwards headstand.
Yeah.
So what's the other person doing?
Bending into it.
Which way? Which way around are they? Come on, I might give you a point here, Jack.
So a backwards headstand.
Yeah.
So are they also doing...
No, the other person is on their feet.
Yeah, they're just bent over, backing up into it.
Yeah. I'm going to give you that.
Okay.
Ding, 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 ding.
Nice.
Can I see a picture?
How did that happen?
Yeah, show me the picture.
Okay, well, hold on, which one is it? This one. This is the trunk. Can you
right.
see that? Okay.
Yeah. That doesn't look fun.
How'd you do that? That looks like that would rain hell on your shoulders.
The person with the penis is legs and back up a wall with a headstand facing upwards.
Yeah,
and
his neck is very, very crooked.
Yeah,
it doesn't
look good. And the person who's being fucked is basically...
Just normal bent over.
Yeah, backing up onto the dick and bent over, hands on ankles.
The trunk.
The trunk.
I mean, yeah, fuck that. I won't do that.
As usual, hold on, pass me that back.
I'll pass it back. Yeah.
Yeah,
give me my pictures back, please.
I post them all on Snapchat. So,
okay.
Uncensored if anyone
Snapchat.
Wants to
get any tips.
Yeah,
any
basically.
Tips? Any tips you got?
Every Wednesday evening, my Snapchat is lit. I don't post on my Snapchat any other time except for this, so my Snapchat's just become a sex position Wednesday kind of thing. Okay, next one is the accordion.
Again, it's all like penis based.
Yeah, it's all like, yeah, okay. Hang
playing on, it like an instrument.
I mean, the accordion sounds a little bit more similar to my first guess. But I don't know.
How do you play an accordion? Is it like, is it similar to a recorder?
No, the accordion's that big one that's like
Oh, yeah.
And it's got buttons on it as well.
It sounds like it would be something to do with the ass or the breasts. Like you'd be like.
Oh, yeah, I see your
squishing.
Thought process.
Or legs.
Or legs.
Do you think it's real or fake, though, first of all?
We're just trying to figure out the plausibility first. we're trying to see which part of the human form is like an accordion.
I'm going to say fake.
Interesting. Dean?
Do you know what? I'm pretty innocent, but I'm going to say real.
Dean is correct.
Holy
Dean
shit,
gets a
Dean.
Little point.
Dean, what do you think it is?
What do you think it is?
Wow,
you can both try and get a point to guess what it is.
Okay.
I know.
Okay, fine.
Do you want some hints?
Yeah, do it.
It's penetrative. It's a penetrative position.
Favorite.
And both people are lying on their side.
How do these things catch on? How did the trunk become a thing? I don't know
if it's a thing. It's on the internet somewhere. Does that make it a thing?
Yeah, I mean, just because you can draw two people in a position doesn't mean they do it.
I'm literally trying to figure this out like a Rubik's Cube. I'm literally just like picturing people in my head and trying to position them.
I mean, people are Rubik's Cubes.
Emotional
or you don't.
Emotional Rubik's Cubes.
I would also take the idea of an accordion and just throw it out of your head.
Why the hell are they calling it that then?
I don't know.
Is it just sort of classic spooning? Spooning sex?
Kind of, but heads are at opposite ends.
Yeah, that's what I was pretty much... I was thinking that it might be that, but that doesn't look like an accordion to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, I don't... Oh, right, yeah,
how do you make
sure.
an accordion out of your body?
Is there a picture?
We do have a picture.
Hooray!
It's like this. So, they're basically...
That's not what I was picturing.
No. So, basically, what's happening here is that the two
A woman
people,
is cuddling the man's legs.
Yeah. So penis and vag are, like, connected, but the heads are at opposite ends. But
right.
they're still,
so
like,
it's a little bit like the trunk, but she's fell over.
They've both fallen over.
Yeah, they've both fallen. This is like, a position after the trunk.
Like, babe, my neck is killing.
Can we just
do the accordion? Yeah, babe, I love you and everything, but you know when you said, honestly, I drew the line at the trunk? What in the diddly fuck is the accordion?
All right, the next one is the forbidden fruit.
That sounds real. I'm going to go with real.
All right.
Forbidden fruit.
I'm going to say it's not real.
Jack gets the point. It's real.
Yes.
Oh, right. Damn.
Forbidden fruit. It's
please say it's got something to do with ass, please.
Yeah.
It's really?
Yeah.
Wait.
Is it just eating ass?
Well, you can eat what you want when you're in that position.
All right.
Depends which direction you want to go for, to be honest.
Forbidden fruit. All right.
I think it might be. It doesn't, like... In the description, it doesn't specifically say eat out the ass.
It means just sort of face in ass.
Do you want to see the picture?
Yeah. Tremendous.
It's a human centipede.
Looks like a good
You're
time.
The middle bit of the human centipede.
Yeah, that is the human centipede. Oh, that's disgusting, right? That's also on my Snapchat.
We're talking about eating ass. My day has got so much better.
Yeah, so the person whose ass or whatever is getting eaten is on all fours, basically, but back arched.
Tuck in.
And then the other person is there, hands free as well, so you can, like...
Do what you want with them.
Do what you want. You can go
So if it's guy on guy, you can do a little rusty trombone.
Yeah.
I forgot about
Bit
this.
Bit of clit action as well. Like, there's so many... Mm-hmm.
So much fun to have. If anything, that looks the least uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone looks...
So far.
Yeah, the guy's also just, like, chilling out as well. Sat down, comfy.
Yeah.
Okay. The last one...
Yes,
is the riding saddle.
The riding saddle.
Also, by the way, the score is currently 2-2.
Oh, and is this the last one?
This is the last one.
Oh, shit.
Okay. It's about taking part. And who isn't going to be the out of us two is going to be the first one to try the accordion.
That's the real winner. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm more looking forward to the trunk, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, your shoulders can take it,
yeah,
I think.
You're going to see me one day and I'm just going to be like in some sort of position. Like, I'm just going to be like, my shoulder's going to be aching. And I'm like, oh man, I'm aching. You know, like, what were you doing last night? I was like, at the gym.
You were doing the gym.
Well, that's a whole different thing.
So this one's called
riding saddle.
The riding saddle. So that actually
sounds
like...
kinky to me. It sounds to me that like a woman would be like riding a man and spanking him with like a
what?
With like a riding crop.
Yeah, with like a riding crop. Yeah.
I'd like to think an actual saddle is involved. So it's expensive.
But no, not a horse.
So are we going real or fake?
I'm gonna say fake.
Okay.
All right, I'll say real then, just to make it interesting.
Dean wins! It's what? Fake! Well done, Dean!
No, there's still a chance I can guess what it is.
No,
fake!
Yeah.
Oh.
I can't stipulate on fakeness.
Does Dean get a ding? He likes a ding.
Oh, yeah,
dings.
You can have a little ding. Thank you.
And this is for you, Jack.
Oh, I hate life. I'd rather be dead.
Listening to the best of the Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
Today I have Juno Dawson
Hello.
With me. Cheers, cheers, cheers. This next section is called Asking for a Friend.
Excellent.
And it's where we talk about those topics that we might be a bit like nervous to talk about. We don't exactly know how to ask or frame certain questions, but they're things that we should be talking about. And we're just going to go for it and just kind of say how we feel about things. And with you, I wanted to talk about estrogen. And just hormones in general and things like that. Because I've been doing the Hormone Diaries series where I've been like documenting my own hormones. Mm-hmm. But then, and because I used to be on the pill and putting hormones in my body for a very different reason to why you are putting hormones into your body.
Yes.
And so I wanted to talk about those like two different perspectives.
Yeah.
But did you want to just start with your like transition, I guess?
So yeah, at the moment I'm on two different types of medication. One of them is what your mum might well be taking for hormone replacement therapy. It's the same thing that we give to women to delay the menopause. And that is estradiol, so it's just estrogen.
Why do people delay menopause? I don't know. If they want to have kids.
Just to avoid the menopause, I think.
Sure, just like, no!
For whatever reason. And then the other one is actually, no medications have been actually developed with trans men or women in mind. We kind of co-opt existing medications because they have side effects that we desire. So the desirable side effect of HRT is developing breast tissue,
etc. Wait, what's HRT?
Hormone replacement therapy.
Okay.
And then the other one I take is actually, it's a cancer drug for prostate cancer. And that has the side effect of it blocks testosterone. So that sort of stops me from having more masculine features like beards and hairy chest and things like that. Mm-hmm. So,
because I remember about a year ago when we filmed Girl on Girl.
Girl on Girl, yeah.
You weren't taking HRT, but you were taking taking the blocker. I remember that.
So, I mean, it's interesting and it is quite noticeable. Having met lots of the trans women and having interviewed trans women for This Book Is Gay, I was really prepared for there to be a massive and quite dramatic change, particularly once I started taking the estrogen. Mm-hmm. Actually, it hasn't been, like, people are, you'll be bursting into tears all the time, you'll be throwing tantrums, it'll be like you'll have PMS the whole time. And actually, it hasn't been that dramatic, actually.
Yeah.
But you do notice it, and it does kind of creep up on you. I think you do find yourself getting teary at those little, like, you know, you see the little videos on Facebook of kind of like, this dog was abandoned.
Yeah, and you didn't before.
No, I was quite stony cold, quite dead inside, actually. But it's interesting, like, a slight difference in just the way you process things. And so I suppose there's one, a personality difference. Like, at the weekend, and if you're listening, I'm still not over this. One of my friends went to see La La Land without me, even though we had planned to see it.
Rude.
Was before, I think I would have been like, I just wouldn't have said anything. I would have been like, no, it's fine. Yeah. Whereas this time I was like, actually, I'm really upset about that because we had planned to see it and now I've got nobody to go with. And he was like, calm down, it's just a film. And I was like, it's not just a film. It's about you made a promise and you didn't keep your promise. And he did say, is this because you're on the hormones? And I was like, well, probably yes, actually. Because
is this
I think,
like the same thing that people could use being like, oh, just PMSing or whatever?
I think very much so. And, but similarly, that works both ways. I think a lot of trans people use the fact they're taking hormones to excuse some bad behaviour as well. So we've kind of got to be, it's a little bit of a two-way street. But I mean, the other one, the big one is between the testosterone blocker and the estrogen, it has a huge impact on your sex drive.
So, this was one of the things you mentioned, like just when you've just had the testosterone blocker, that you said your sex drive went down.
Straight away, yeah. And possibly even more so now. Like, it's very different, and, you know, that's something, again, wait, it's a shame there isn't a sound effect for book plugging. But there's a whole section in Gender Games, because previously in my 20s, when I was living as a man, you know, I was on the gay scene anyway, which actively promotes promiscuity in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And I was having all the sex in the world, whereas now I'm able to think about sex in a very different way. And it's not that I don't want sex, it's that you can see things a lot more clearly, I think, without all that testosterone coursing through your body. And so I just feel like I still like sex and still want sex, but it's certainly not the driver that it once was. Like, I used to plan my weekends around where I was getting sex from. Wouldn't do now.
Wow. That's so interesting, because obviously, like, I can't deny your experience, mm-hmm. because that's, like, what, you know, has happened to you.
Yeah.
But again, I find I'm so reluctant to accept that cis men mm-hmm. are, like, more horny and, like, more driven by sex than cis women. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
women are full of testosterone as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what makes women horny. And testosterone levels will vary. And I know I was talking to a couple of trans men who, when they initially had their bloods done, they were told, well, you had so much testosterone in your body anyway, you were very nearly what we would consider biologically male, to be honest. And so I think now I'm under a particular double whammy, because not only am I taking estrogen, but I'm blocking nearly all the testosterone. So probably my sex drive is actually lower than your average cisgender woman, actually.
Okay, because
I'm actively blocking it.
Cis women will also have testosterone.
Yeah, of course, and aren't blocking it.
And aren't blocking it. God, yeah. Because I was like, God, I wonder what, like, if I blocked my testosterone.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, for a woman, I feel like I have a really high sex drive.
And as well, you ovulate, so your sex drive is programmed to go along with your cycle.
Do you feel like you have a cycle? Is that a thing? This is a question that I have no idea what happens with trans women that take estrogen.
I think possibly,
like, do you have one, or?
It wouldn't be a menstrual cycle. I think it's how close you are to your last progesterone blocker thing. Not progesterone, testosterone.
Okay.
So I get a shot of the testosterone blocker once every 3 months.
Okay.
So it'd be interesting to see if, as that wears off, if I have more sex drive towards the end of the 3 months, just before I get my next injection, kind of, maybe. It remains to be seen.
Okay, so other things that I experience as, like, hormonal changes for myself, and I just want to see, like, if you experience any of the same or whatever, is things like really craving, like, attention from men. Just really wanting a boyfriend and also wanting babies. And the crying thing sometimes and just feeling like absolute shit. But then also having these days where you're just, like, insanely motivated. I don't know how much of this is down to hormones, but, like, you do kind of feel a general cycle of these things.
Yeah.
And then also, like, do your tits hurt?
Well, they hurt constantly at the moment because they're growing.
Yeah, okay,
at the moment, I'm probably very much where you would expect a pubescent girl to be, actually. So it is.
Do you get spots? Like,
potentially. I haven't as yet. So I'm about, 7 months into my estrogen therapy.
Okay.
So it's definitely, we're going. We've started. It's begun. I'm
trying to think what else happened during puberty. Sweaty.
I'm cold all the time.
Oh,
never
really?
Was before. Like, I've always been quite the opposite. Actually, sort of padding around in December in t-shirts. Not anymore.
You're
I've been,
like,
freezing all winter, which has been really weird.
Is that like a, is that a usual side effect or?
I'm not sure. It could be. I mean, it could also be that I've lost a bit of weight as well. Okay. So it could just be that. But I think certainly all my emotions feel a lot closer to the surface. And I don't admit, but there's a real argument to say that this is a societal thing, which is now that I'm living as a woman, I don't have to man up. And nobody's telling me to man up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it could actually, so it's very hard to say what's me being hormonal. And actually, bursting into tears at adverts about dogs definitely got to be the hormones, because that was not happening before. Mm-hmm. Whereas the fact that I spent all weekend fuming at one of my friends for going to the cinema without me, it's hard to say, is that hormones or is that actually I didn't feel I had to pretend that it was cool, it was all cool. Because actually it wasn't cool, I was really upset actually. And
yeah,
I,
and you would have been upset before, but you just wouldn't have said anything.
I certainly wouldn't have said anything, no.
Yeah.
Whereas now I felt it was all right too. So,
so interesting. Mm. Do you have any questions for me? I don't know if you have or
do
anything.
You, have you noticed a difference since you came off the pill? Has it been a definite... Because that's in the book we've said that actually, you know, and I don't want to get into this because it's a big thing. Some feminists exclude trans women from conversations about feminism. And the big part of that is, well, you know, you don't belong to feminism because you don't ovulate and you don't menstruate.
Whatever.
Whereas actually, it's, neither do a lot of women who've been taking the contraceptive pill continually without a break. Some mm-hmm, do they mm-hmm. not belong in conversations about feminism? So, but have you noticed a difference since you stopped?
I've noticed lots of differences, but it... For me, it's like hard to figure out what is directly the result of coming off the pill or like other factors as well. So like the direct, I don't want to give too much away because I've actually filmed a whole video about all of it because it's been like 6 months. So I filmed a whole video about the changes that's going to be coming out next week. But the top line is the direct change of coming off the pill is that I have periods again.
Yeah.
They happen.
Surprise.
Yeah. Oh, I'm bleeding. and then other things that... have happened since coming off the pill that I'm like, I don't know if these would have happened anyway or if they are connected in some way, are to do with like my mood and my weight.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm just like, I don't know. But who, it's hard, who it's so say? Hard to tell. So hard to tell like what's causing what and what. Ugh. Yeah. Blah! Anyway, this is a great chat.
Yeah, isn't it?
I just, that's it's so good to be able to offload. I feel like you always have so many questions, but you're like, oh, I'm so scared to ask in case I offend somebody. And you're like, you know, but you have to ask and you have to just like open yourself up to like being wrong and being like, and just saying the things.
There's a right way of asking as well, right and wrong way of asking. And, you know, I think with trans people, but again, as we've said before, it is we're kind of at the beginning of a new era of trans awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind being asked questions as long as they're polite questions, as long as they're not being screamed across the concourse at King's Cross or something. You know,
okay, it's kind of, has that happened?
you do get people screaming at you, often from wound down car windows and stuff like that. But we were talking on the way on the tube coming up. Mm. I got some harassment just this evening. I got harassed by a group of burly builders. Thanks for that. Mm. So it's, you know, people can be assholes. But as long as people ask respectful questions... And also respect your answer.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously, people are always fascinated by transgender bodies. And so I kind of very often duck and shield those questions and say there is no one way to be trans. My gender has nothing to do with my body. Mm-hmm. And then they'll push that and say, yeah, but what's in your pants? And you're like, well, I think I answered that, actually. And I'm, you know, you're just now being nosy and annoying. So it's kind of...
Anyway.
Do one.
Yeah, exactly. You and I and nobody
else. Listening to the best of the Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
All right, Cal. I'm sorry that you lost that game.
I'm still upset about it.
It's fine, because now we're going to like take things down a notch. Not competitive at all.
Oh.
We're going to have a little chat.
Oh, yay, okay.
Because it's time for the Asking for a Friend segment. Okay, so asking for a friend this week, I was like, what do you want to talk about? And Cal was like... BDSM and kink!
BDSM and kink. You know, just, I feel every... It's very topical at the moment. I feel like everyone's opening up their minds to the BDSM world.
Yeah? And it's becoming mainstream? Do you think that's like a post 50 Shades of Grey world we live in? Post-truth, post 50 Shades?
Post-fact. Yeah. I don't want to attribute it to 50 Shades of Grey. Hannah and I watched 50 Shades of Grey on an aeroplane together once. Wait, yeah. Did it have like all the sex scenes and things in it?
Okay, that doesn't here's the seem... thing. Like, people ask me that, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. Did they skip them out? Because I
remember seeing penis because we all threw our arms up in celebration.
But it was like a pan down shot, and you got like the pubic line, and then it cut. To
no, there was
else.
A, there was a no, there was a little bit of willy. It was like it was like it was like the top half of the penis, and then it cut
from the
was,
pubic line.
Yeah, because he was like opening the jeans, and it was like a little bit of dick, and then. That's your
gone.
Lot.
I don't know, because we watched it on a plane, so it's like, ooh, what? You
so
know.
If we watch it not on a plane, we get the full penis?
I know, I feel like I should see it again.
Should watch it again.
And find
right,
out. Right,
it's
on
radio
Netflix.
Show.
Let's go watch 50 Shades of Grey. I watched the second one in the cinema, and from my memory, there wasn't like any more or less sex in it than in the first one.
See,
so I can't remember.
I haven't seen the second one, but I've heard a lot
it's
of
terrible.
People... Really? I've heard a lot of people celebrating it.
No.
Awful, is it?
Awful.
As
they get
as the
engaged.
First? No.
Yeah. After he like almost dies in a helicopter crash.
What?
Yeah.
That sounds exhausting.
Yeah, it's fucking dumb. It's fucking dumb.
I just feel like if people watch 50 Shades of Grey and that was like enlightening to them mm-hmm. and it opened up a whole new world of kink and all that exciting stuff, then amazing.
Yeah.
But I just feel like it was a bit of a misrepresentation.
Yeah.
And like how their dumb sub relationship kind of bleeds into their actual relationship. I'm like, not cool, guys.
Except for some sub-dopper relationships, it is that. It's like a 24/7 thing. It's not just in the bedroom.
I'm doing
for
my
some.
Puzzled face because that confuses me.
I
mean, if they're happy doing that.
Well, this is I spoke to someone for the Banging Book Club podcast
sure.
about that, and she's in a sub-dom relationship, mm-hmm. and she described it as a 24/7 thing.
Right.
But like it, it's not sexual all the time.
Oh.
You know, he is her dom. She is his sub. She calls him sir, and. What did she say? She said, I really liked the way she put it in that they entered into the relationship as equals and then they negotiated an inequality.
Okay.
So the thing about Anastasia and Christian's relationship is that she doesn't enter it as his equal.
Yes, and this is the issue because he like tricks her with the contract and everything.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's not how it mm-hmm. should happen.
Anyway,
so, yeah.
50 Shades, whatever.
Over there, go away,
go
50,
away
50 Shades,
Shades.
Of Grey.
Kink, BDSM.
I may have told you this before, Hannah Witten, but I've never told you on the radio. Do you know what BDSM stands for? Because it is, without a doubt, my favourite...
The best acronym!
It's the best acronym in the English language.
Because it stands for six different things?
It's a four-letter word that stands for six things. Do you know what the six are? This is a quiz. Come on, Hannah Witten. Come on, you published a book about sex.
Okay.
This is your challenge.
Hold on, I just need to write down BDSM so I just so I can see letters because I'm really bad at... things. Okay, so BDSM. B stands for bondage.
Yes.
D stands for dominance and discipline.
Yes.
And S stands for submission and sadomasochism. And then the M stands for masochism or
so
something like that.
Almost. You almost had it. The S stands for sadism.
Okay.
Not sadomasochism because the M is the masochism.
Got it. So,
so it's bondage and discipline, dominance and submission. And sadism and masochism. Like, how clever is that?
Yeah,
like,
it's amazing.
Amazing. Best acronym there is.
Great acronym.
Great
Unlike
acronym.
Unlike LGBTQ plus I, what's
I,
that
I,
about?
A...
That's a different debate to have.
LGBT plus I like.
Okay, I use LGBTQ plus, but and that's what I use in doing it.
And that's
out
good.
Tomorrow.
And that's valid. And well done, Hannah Witten.
God, so much like politics around it. Anyway, kink.
Yes.
Okay, what about you? Personal experience of kink.
Okay, so, right. So, my personal experiences, if we're talking about the BDSM world, I feel like on the vanilla to extreme scale,
mm-hmm.
I have done only up until about a 5. But I
What is the extreme, a 10?
The 10 would be the extreme.
Okay.
And I want to go like 9.5. I really, really do.
Wow.
Like,
have you found someone that is... But you're more of a dom, aren't you?
I am, and that surprises people. Because I'm so happy and feminine. And,
but you want to beat the shit out of people.
Yeah, and maybe that's why. Maybe, like, because I'm so, like... I literally wouldn't hurt a fly in real life. So maybe it's... Mm. Maybe that's why I have
what,
this it built up aggression.
What
that,
turns you on about it? Is it the cute aggression? Could be part of that.
I do think cute aggression is part of it.
Cute aggression, and also... Is one of the things that turns you on is the idea of somebody wanting you to do that to them.
Yeah.
Not just you doing it, but someone who's like, I want you to do this.
Absolutely. It's 100, yeah. Like, part of the fetish is about consent. It's like, mm-hmm. I want to do these things to somebody because they really, really will take pleasure from it. If they weren't taking pleasure from it, then I wouldn't be interested at all.
Yeah, that's just you beating someone up then.
Which is not fun.
No.
Not fun for anyone.
Don't do that.
But I do think the cute aggression is part of it. Because, you know, I like really cute feminine guys. And
crushing them.
And it's kind of like looking
squeezing
at the
them.
Puppy and going, oh, look at the little puppy. I just want to like smush its little face. But with a human male.
And a whip.
And a whip. And some other toys as well.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
I think on the... If we're talking about not... So not a general sex sliding scale, but a BDSM scale, mm-hmm. where one is vanilla BDSM.
Yes.
Not like just vanilla sex, but vanilla BDSM and then like 10 hardcore. I would say I'm like a 1 or a 2.
Okay.
I'm definitely on the BDSM scale.
Yeah, because
scale,
the though. 1 or the 2 in regular is going to be like a 9 or a 10, you know?
Oh, yeah, because it... I you know, like... Blindfolds and spanking and handcuffs.
Yeah.
Scratching.
All good stuff.
Biting.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That stuff. I'm into it. Also, I really want to experiment with ice and hot wax.
Oh, I love hot wax.
That's like next on my list of things I want to do.
Hot wax is like my favorite thing to do. Because it doesn't injure the person in any way. And yet, like, you can really, like...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But for people listening, don't just get any candles. You have to get, like, body-safe candles. That's why they don't burn. That's why they don't hurt you.
No, I just used regular candles. Don't do what I did, kids.
I heard that you should use, like, or at least maybe regular candles, like, have the thing in it or whatever, or don't have a certain thing in it. But you have to, like... I think you have to be quite careful. I know.
Listen
this is what
to,
I heard.
Listen to Hannah Witten. Do not listen to me.
I just hear these things. I'm also learning. But, yeah, and then the ice cubes thing. But you're very clearly a dom.
Yes.
See, I would say I'm verse.
Ooh.
I'm definitely verse in that. Like, I take pleasure out of, like, both sides.
When it comes to regular sex, I'm very open to being the dominant or the submissive partner. But when it comes to more BDSM things, then I don't really have any desire to be the submissive partner.
Oh,
I would.
Really?
If I was in love with someone and they were like, I want to, like, do this thing to you, I'd be like, okay, let's give it a go. But I don't think I would really be taking pleasure from it.
Yeah. I think I'm generally more submissive. Mm. In regular sex, probably mostly... No. I think in all of it, I'm like a 60-40, with 60 being the sub.
That's a nice mix.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of that.
Me too.
I think every single one of us has a little bit of kink in us, and I just think it's now that people are starting to accept that and talk about it. But I really do.
Yeah,
none of my friends are like, oh, not a single person I know has ever been like, nope, I just want vanilla sex. Like, nobody has ever said that to me.
I think sometimes the umbrella term of like BDSM and kink, people automatically assume with the really extreme hardcore stuff.
Yeah.
And so they disassociate themselves from it. And they're like, oh, I'm not really into that. But then you ask them, like, oh, what kind of things do you like in the bedroom? You're like, well, that's kink.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm into it. Your kink, there was another thing that the woman said to me. She was like, your kink is not my kink, but your kink is okay.
Oh, I like that.
Which is really cute. I love it. I'm into it. Ooh, I don't want, I don't need,
I can't stand no minute, man. You're listening to the best of the Hannah Witten Show on FUBAR Radio.
This evening, I have with me Aloni.
Woohoo!
Yay, hello! Oh my goodness. Like, I've heard a lot of Missy Elliott, but I've not heard this song. So this was new to me, and... very exciting.
Yes.
First of all, at the beginning of the show, you mentioned that there is some history with this song. So please tell us about that.
Okay.
Go.
So when I was around like 19, I had sex with this guy and he didn't last very long. And I was so upset. You know, when you get into it with a guy and you've been thinking about it. And he doesn't perform great. You're just like, oh,
so like the lead up.
Yeah. And the thing was, he was just talking about how great he was.
Oh.
So it was just like, oh my God, stop. Like, what was all this
texting? Maybe he built himself up and he felt the own pressure that he'd put on himself.
Probably. But see, this is the thing. I gave him a second chance. And when I gave him that, you know, benefit of the doubt. So I was like, okay, do you know what? I'm going to have some fun with this. So I created a playlist and I had all these amazing songs. I put this song in the playlist, no joke, Hannah. And do you know what? He lasted longer this time, but as soon as he was done, this song came on after. And he was just like, are you sending shots my way? And I just smirked.
Did it happen again after that? Or was that
no,
it?
I sent him back in. I went to university. So I was like, this is fun. Bye.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, oh, that's dear. The history behind this song. It was 1 Minute Man. And
oh, I love
he
it.
Was kind of a 1 Minute Man. I mean, I wouldn't do it now because that's just mean, but it was funny.
It You're makes 19, great stories, yeah.
I wouldn't do it now. It was fun, but back then, so yeah, the lyrics were probably triggered him, to be honest.
Oh,
so,
poor guy. He's got a complex now.
But this is the thing. Don't talk about your game, you know, just, you know, especially if it's, you know, not all the way there. So, I don't know.
As Missy Elliott says, show me what you got. Don't tell me.
Yeah.
Show me.
Right, exactly. I didn't even notice that, but that is true. I was just paying to the 1 Minute Man. That was the only bit I was paying attention to.
I'm very confused. In the chorus, the lyric, break me off. What does this mean?
So when she says break me off, she's basically saying give me some. So break me off, show me what you got. She's basically saying break me off. Like I want to...
Like get me off.
Yeah, get me off, basically.
Why is it break though? This time, like, what's happening?
I have no idea. See, she's American, so I don't know if that's what they're saying.
Is that an American thing?
Probably an American thing. But from what I gather, if I was to annotate it, I would literally suggest that it be she's trying to talk about, you know, getting her big O.
Yeah.
And coming,
So on my first listen, I'm trying to take it all in, but some of my favourite lyrics are in the where the dude is rapping.
Yes, ludicrous. Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, so. And literally when he goes, it's ludicrous, the maintenance man. Get your oil changed. I check fluids and transmission. Oh, Jesus. I was just like, I love it. Like, just, it's such a...
I check fluids and transmissions. Okay.
It's just such a corny metaphor.
It is.
But it's yeah, it's like, have you been oiled lately? Like,
I'm coming down.
You know, you know,
to have a check.
If you've been maintenance. Like, have you had your regular
check-up?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. No, it is a good one. I like the metaphor
And then where
it.
He says... A hard head make a soft ass, but a hard dick make the sex last.
Oh God, that he's not lying though. He isn't lying. He isn't lying at all. But that's another interesting one.
Oh my God, they go to sleep, start snoring, counting sheep and shit.
They're so wet, the body starts to leak and shit. Oh God,
wait, is that about the woman who's been left hanging?
No, I don't.
So she's like so wet that she's just leaking because he's.
Yes,
like beside her sleeping.
Exactly, and he's put it down, I think. So I'm guessing that she's still leaking. I don't know who
Ludicrous
this has happened to.
Ludicrous, balance and rotate all tyres. Back to the maintenance
I don't
maintenance
know who this happens
analogy.
To, though. I don't know who this happens to. I've never been... Have you ever been so, like, wet that you start snoring and counting sheep?
No, that's the dude, I think.
Oh, is he counting sheep?
Yeah, because it says they go to sleep. As
oh,
in
they go
the...
to sleep, start snoring, counting sheep and shit. No, I think it's him, because he carries on by saying they so wet. And I think I'm very sure that men refer to women as being wet. Their body leak.
I know, but I think the two theys are different.
Oh, really? You could be right.
Maybe.
They go
I don't
to
know.
Sleep, start
Anyone,
snoring,
any ideas?
Counting sheep and shit. They so wet, their body start leak and shit.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because I'm an all-nighter.
Oh, wait. No, they go to sleep. Is
I think
that...
he's talking about the women that he's doing. He might be having an orgy.
Oh, I've no idea. We're like, how many people are involved here? Wait, okay, so wait.
I want Luda's. I want his sex life. It already sounds amazing.
Oh, wait, so in his bit, he uses you and your.
Yeah.
That means the woman.
Yes.
So when he says they, I think they refers to all of the dudes that this woman has been sleeping, all the 1 Minute Men that she's been sleeping with.
Probably. Oh, yes, that doesn't mean... Okay, I see your point now, yes, I see that.
I don't understand how a man is so wet that his body is starting to leak and shit, though. That bit's confusing me.
Just because I'm an all-nighter, shoot all fire.
Okay.
That's definitely him, yeah.
I'm a big dog having women seeing stripes and things.
Oh.
See, that terrifies me. Like, if it's so big that you're, like, slightly blacking out and getting blurred vision and seeing stripes, it's just like, oh, goodness.
Yeah, that is a bit much. Oh, gosh. I don't know. I don't think I'd be into that, Hannah, would you?
Not seeing stripes. Not like... so much that I'm like about to pass out or whatever. And then in Missy Elliott's bits, in her like verses,
yes,
I like it. It's like, I want you to come prepared.
They have to.
Like in my head, that means like practicalities, like condoms, lube, toys. Yes.
Check up before. I'm going to see the text. I'd like to see a text. So that is another good one. Coming prepared. How do I get? I'm trying to think. How do I get prepared? Probably what you just said, actually. You know, lube.
Mood lighting. I'm all about mood lighting.
I love mood lighting as well. That is amazing.
Main lingerie. Lights off. All of the little lights.
Candles.
On. I've never gone for candles. You've I would like candles. To. I just don't have enough surface space for candles.
Scented candles. Oh, my
gosh. I'm also terrified I will burn the house down.
There is that as well. Yeah. No, definitely. The first time I tried it, I was just like, oh, my gosh, let me blow these out now because I don't want no.
Yeah. I will say, though, so if you are a minute man,
yes,
that's fine.
Yes. there are ways around it.
There are ways around it, and you can work on it. And like, exactly. Sex isn't all about penetration as well. There are other things that you can do. And it's equally as frustrating when like someone takes forever to get there. Like, I've definitely been in, like, especially when I was younger and I wasn't as good at communicating.
Oh my gosh.
About what I wanted, or the fact that I was like, not done in the sense of I'd had an orgasm, but done in the sense of like,
this is enough.
I'm like, I'm like red raw now. Because like when I was younger, like, so this was maybe when I was like 17 or something. I wasn't very good at, I didn't really know how to communicate about, you know, stopping the sex if I wanted to.
Yeah.
Like if I was like, cool, I've had enough now. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
And also didn't really understand the wonders that is lube.
Yeah.
And I just remember my boyfriend at the time just like being able to go for about 40 minutes.
Oh my God. Oh my God. No. I can't do more than like 20 minutes. After 20 minutes, I don't care. I'm not going to lie to you.
Because you can have like sex sessions that last hours, but the actual like penetrative bit,
it's too much.
It's only part of it. Yeah, that's not like the you know, the holy grail of sex. There's all this other stuff.
The foreplay has to be, that's why we say like foreplay should be at least like 20-25 minutes. Like, there should be so much kissing, you know, dirty talking, touching, rubbing, licking, all of that good stuff before you get into it.
That after as well.
Exactly. Or after, that's the thing. So even if, you know, he comes before you or you come before him, you don't have to keep going at it like, I always do this.
Yeah, that's
do you remember? I always don't have to keep going and like, that's me clapping. But you can do other things. So he can use a vibrator on you, and he, whilst, you know, caressing your breasts. Or
maintenance man.
Yeah, he could be the maintenance man and get you checked up as well. So don't feel like, you know, you have to go on for long. And if you are even a minute man, there are ways around it. You can use cock rings. That help you last longer at times as well. There's so many ways around it. But yeah, sex for 40 minutes. Hannah, I can't do that. I would have tapped, like, please, this is enough. God.
Tapping out.
It's so important to communicate in bed as well.
In my place.
And the thing is, I feel like some women get upset, like they don't want to disappoint the guy.
Yeah.
I don't care. I've gotten to a stage where this is my vagina and what I'm feeling is not, is more important than what is going on right now.
And also, I think it's good to have a partner who
understands.
Who understands and also isn't going to want to continue if you're not into it, you know?
Yeah, and because won't pull a strop. Or won't pull a strop. There are some guys that will make you feel like crap because you don't want to carry on.
In that situation, leave him.
Yeah, he's got to leave. He's got to go because no guy should make you feel that way. It's your body.
All right.
1 minute, man.
I just love your story about this song. It's just too funny.
Hey, shady baby, I'm hot like the prodigal son.
You're listening to the best of the Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Hannah Whitten Show today.
Woo!
Oh, there we go. It's Elle Meadows.
It's me, Elle Meadows.
There we go. Who's like, woo!
Woo! That's my introduction to pretty much every occasion.
All right, so tell me the story behind why you picked this song.
Okay. So, when this song came out, like, 3-4 years ago...
I have no idea.
I have this, like, very vivid memory of sitting in one of my best friend's cars, and her saying, oh, so the hit, like the story behind this song is that Alt-J's producer was like, you need to appeal to the American market and like be more commercial. And so they wrote this song, and that it's about masturbating.
Really appeal to that American market.
I know. Well, it was being ironic.
Yeah, like clean American market.
Uh-huh. But upon like Googling it and looking through the lyrics, I'm beginning to think that she, my friend Amy Gillies, I'm talking about you. I think she might have been a little bit misinformed because it doesn't seem sexual, like in the slightest.
Mate, just from the title of this song, it is about masturbation.
Yeah, because
if your left hand is free, it means you're jerking off with your right hand.
Obviously.
Like, okay, let's go through this line by line and try and figure out if this song is about sex.
Okay.
Okay, hey, shady baby, I'm hot. There we go.
Okay,
I'm
right off the bat.
I'm horny.
Like, honey.
Baby.
I'm hot.
Baby. And then it says, like, the prodigal son. We just had to Google what that meant.
I thought it was something to do with being a prodigy, but apparently not.
It is spending money or using resources freely and recklessly, wastefully extravagant. There we go. I just burped. Can you hear that? It was really weird.
Classy.
Pick a battle, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Hey, flower, you're the chosen one.
Well, okay, that's, well, flower.
That's a clear reference to, like, virginity.
Yeah.
And then,
and also, like, when you pick petals of a daisy, saying, he loves me not.
All of that stuff. N-E-O, O-M-G, G-Wiz. What is N-E-O?
No, it's meant, oh, Neo, O-M-G. Neo, like, on The Matrix.
Which is not fiction. No.
I don't know.
For some people, your kink is not.
Your kink is not my kink.
The Matrix kink.
I bet.
Girl,
that's
you're
thing.
The one for me. Though your man's bigger than I am. Is that about penises?
What's the plural of penis?
Peni! Is it though? Is it though?
Just Google.
But I feel like penis is one where it can be penis or peni.
Like
both are grammatically correct.
Octopuses. The plural of octopus is octopus or octopi, I think.
Oh, penises.
Oh. Or peens.
Or pens.
No, I'm going to say that's peens. P-E-N-E-S. Penis.
Penises. Multiple penises. all my days, he disagrees. Oh, no. Well, you're...
See, that doesn't make sense. Your man's bigger than me, so he's got a big dick, but he disagrees. What guy would disagree?
An insecure... I don't know.
No, but surely that's, like, the opposite. I don't have a big dick, man. You flatter me.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I don't have a big dick. You have a big dick.
No, you have a big dick.
You have a big dick.
You have a big dick.
Well, I love that. Here we go. Well, your left hand's free and your right's in grip. So it's gripping one of the penises. I'm not sure if it's the dude who's singing the song or their man.
Uh-huh. What's the left hand doing?
With another left hand... Watch his right hand slip.
Maybe that's like, you know, the finale.
Her right hand has got his dick in a grip. Dick in a grip. And then his right hand is slipping into her. The vulva area.
Oh.
Well, yes. You know, it could just be slipping in between the lips. It could be slipping inside. You never know which way it's going to go. But also, if they're both using their right hands...
Someone's leaning over themselves
or someone's like,
or maybe they're just facing each other.
Yeah.
See, that would be simpler.
That'd be a lot easier. And then we go. Here we go. Watch his right hand slip. Oh wait, no.
I was thinking
this is masturbation again because his right hand isn't slipping towards her anything. Watch his right hand slip towards his gun, and everyone knows that gun means penis.
Everyone knows.
Everyone knows that a gun is a metaphor. For a penis.
You can basically say that about any phallic object.
Like, a wand in Harry Potter is the equivalent of a gun, and the wand
is an equivalent
of
a penis.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it literally repeats itself. I think that those are literally the only lyrics in the song.
Well,
I think we have discovered it is about masturbation. It's about, like, solo masturbation, then I also think it might be a little bit about mutual masturbation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we solved it.
Sorted. It was a song about sex. After all.
I'm sorry that I'm late.
You're listening to the best of the Hannah Witten Show on FUBAR Radio.
I've got Ash Haldel with me. Woo, 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 woo.
Yay, hello. I'm so happy to be here.
You're American as well.
I know,
she came
that's
all
true.
The way from America to be on this show.
Just to see you and hang out with you, Hannah.
On this show, specifically.
To be on this show.
To be on the show. Okay, Ashley, are you ready for your favourite, well, not your favourite, well, it might be your favourite, but the most anticipated?
Yes, the most anticipated. I'm slightly nervous. I have never phone sex talked before. I think I tried once and it went poorly. But I'm all in. Yeah. And I'm ready.
I love your enthusiasm.
Okay.
So
it'll be weird.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Okay, good.
It's good if it's weird. So the way that this game, Dirty Talk, works is that Ash and I are going to simulate phone sex. I'm going to call you up, and then I'm going to start talking dirty to you, and you're going to talk dirty back to me.
Okay.
What we have in front of us are three pieces of paper with words on them that we can't see, and during the conversation, we turn over them like one at a time,
mm-hmm.
and whatever the word is on the piece of paper, we have to include in our dirty talk.
Are we trying to slip it in like unnoticed?
You can if you want, but it usually is pretty noticeable.
Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna call
you. Do we have like alter egos, or are you still Hannah?
You can be whoever you want.
My name is Fred.
You're gonna be Fred?
Yes.
Okay.
Fred is the sexiest name.
Happy Mindy.
This is going to be the most obnoxious phone sex you've
had. Okay.
All right.
Bring, bring. Bring, bring.
Bring, bring. Hello, hello.
Hi, Fred. It's Mindy.
Oh, Mindy. My Mindy.
Oh, Fred. I was just thinking about you.
Mindy. Where are you from?
Don't ask. It's fine. I like went to one of those international schools, so my accent's all over the place.
Ooh, I like girls like that.
Yeah.
It's a very niche thing, so I'm happy I found you.
Okay. Well, I was just... That's cool, I guess. Because I'm unique, you know? But, Fred, I was just thinking about you the other night and that cake that we ate.
Ooh.
And remember how you got the cake in your hand and you just shoved it in my face?
Yes.
So into that.
Yes, I remember that. And then I licked it off your forehead and it was nice. So many marshmallows on that cake. Oh, I love them.
I just love how bouncy and they
I bounced them right off your nipples, baby. It was fun.
We burnt them on the fire first, and so they melted all down my belly.
Ouchie. But we were safe about it, and nobody got hurt.
It was totally consensual because I love you, baby. Fred.
Mindy, you're my little marshmallow Mindy. Oh, yum. Yum, yum, sweetness.
Oh, yeah. But the thing, it was kind of funny, though, because with burning off them marshmallows, we kind of, like, set the place on fire and we had to put gas masks on. But it don't matter because you in a gas mask, Fred, was so sexy.
Ooh, yep.
I just love seeing you in that gas mask. And it was such a tease because then I couldn't kiss you because we were both wearing gas masks.
Right, and we were running away from a fire, so we had other things
to do. Marshmallow fire. Oh, I have so many adventures with you, Fred.
Yes, but then a little bit of our gas masks caught on fire. So we had to put on our swimming goggles and jump in the neighbor's pool. Do you remember that, Mindy?
I remember it. Ugh. Oh, it was so weird.
It was the weirdest.
So weird. And the neighbors came out and they were like, "Where are your morals?"
And I said, "We don't have morals. We're cheap." And I'm in love with Mindy.
And I'm in love with you, Fred.
Oh my god, and the song just ended there. That's perfect.
Was that unlike any other phone sex call you've had?
Well, it was the first time I had an accent that was slipping in and out of like
generic American, Southern belle, sometimes British.
And then just generally uncomfortable. You're just like, oh, okay, for the gap. That's fine, okay. Moving on. Okay, I liked that. That was good. We can play that again.
My cheeks hurt from smiling so much. Why was I, like, being all Southern belle? I think it's the whole, like, oh.
Because I'm a big, burly man. Yeah.
Uh-huh. God, gender norms. Just slipping right into everything. Oh. So you've never done the phone sex thing, or you have once before?
I've never done what?
The phone sex thing.
Mm-mm. I was long distance once, and I think that I, like, tried to initiate it. Mm-hmm. Like, because I'm pretty, well, yeah, anyway.
that thought train just derailed.
So I, like, hinted at it. I was like, maybe we could try to be intimate. And they were like, oh. And I was like, well.
Come on, Fred.
You could call me. And
yeah, but we already talked to each other on the phone.
Yeah, I know, but, like, we could. Never mind. So, like, because I think phone sex could be fun.
Yeah.
If I mean, I think real sex would be mo better. But when I was long distance, I was interested, but I think I felt pretty, like, shut down. And then, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Each their own, eh?
Yeah. It wasn't meant to be anyway, so, like, whatever.
You're like, never mind. No phone sex for you, anywho.
Right. Exactly.
No phone sex, no regular sex.
Yeah, none of the sex.
No sexting.
How often do you have phone sex?
Like, that sounds like I'm about to be like weekly, no. I'm much more of a sexter.
Oh, okay.
So, like, in text form?
Sure.
Like, if someone got hold of my phone.
Oh, I send dirty pictures. Is that the same?
Yeah, that's a form of sexting.
Okay. I do that.
I like that.
I'm, like, trying to prove myself. I'm like, I'm wild. I'm sexy.
I like doing that, but I'm still, I don't know, because I'm not married.
Sure. Oh, that's good. That's really good.
It's the whole, guys, don't sext until you're married. But you know what I mean? It's like,
Grace is the first person I've sexted with.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it wasn't really by choice. It was just because she was the first person to ever sext me.
Oh,
so
she was like, I just the initiator,
reciprocated,
and you were just like, I'm into it.
Yeah,
I like it.
But I think,
yeah, it's like I will send underwear pictures because I'm like, I've posted a few underwear pictures on the internet anyway.
So that's what I mean by sexy pictures, anyway.
I thought you were like nude.
Oh well,
like, fully nude. Because if it was that, then I'm just like head not in the picture.
Sure,
but I don't think there aren't really any of those that exist of me. That I've sent.
I think topless is the most I go. In a
I'll be
picture.
Like holding my boobs like this.
Sure.
And I'll be like sexy. Uh-huh. I actually showed a picture of like a naked picture of myself, but my head isn't in. And I was like really proud of it because I thought I looked really good, like really cool in it. And I showed it to a bunch of my friends. Like I didn't send it to them, but I was like physically putting my phone in their face, being like, can I show you my nudes? And they were like, sure. So I showed them this picture, and my friend Riyad, who is a gay man.
I know Riyad, yeah.
Yeah. He was, his best compliment that he could give me on my female form was, you look so fertile. Which I love. I loved that. I look fertile.
What does that mean?
I think it was just like hips, tits.
Sure. Yeah, you know? Womanly. Yeah.
It was just like, you could impregnate me.
Yeah.
I would hold a child.
That is a
I
compliment.
I could carry a child in my stomach.
I can imagine that in Riyadh's voice.
Childbearing hips.
You look so fertile.
You look so fertile. No, not even try.
No. Fertile, yeah.
Fertile. Fertile Myrtle.
Yeah.
Oh, God. But yeah, the phone sex thing, however, does happen. I'm just like, I think I'm a very sex-driven person in general. So, like, if I like someone, then anytime we talk, I will steer the conversation to sex.
That's cool. Have you ever had, like, a dry spell or, like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because of, like... When
like, by choice?
No. Okay. Yeah, no, not by choice. It's also been a dry spell just because I'm just like, oh, I don't have anyone to have sex with right now. And then, But yeah, not being like, I'm not going to sleep with people right now. Mm-hmm. I'm always just like, I'm into it.
That's cool. My sexuality is more like fluid in that way.
Yeah.
Like if you were to imagine like the spectrum of like sexual, like super sexual mm-hmm. person and asexual person, like over time, I let my like where I exist on that changes. And I don't think, and sometimes it has to do with like environmental factors.
Sure.
Like stress obviously mm-hmm. can affect your like libido.
Yeah.
And then meds like antidepressants and stuff.
Yeah. I dated a guy who was on antidepressants and his libido was like low.
Yeah.
That wasn't going to work out, unfortunately.
Yeah. Birth control too, you know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of things, but sometimes I just genuinely feel like mm-hmm. My like orientation is less sexual, and then sometimes I feel so sexual.
Yeah.
So yeah. But you're just like.
But that's also just like depending on your mood, because it's not like I'm up for it constantly.
Sure, I think I'm talking like more long term though. Like maybe like not like on this part of the week I felt this way, and on this part of the week I felt this way. I think I mean like for 5 months I felt this.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, I see. In that case, I'm like. Wait, no, I learned this in your book. I'm Z-sexual.
Yes. Uh-huh. You got it. That's good.
I learned something.
There that was go. Really good.
But maybe it's just because I was like, that one's me, so I'll remember that. Uh-huh. Screw you all. Screw the rest of you. That one applies to me.
I like that.
But I guess that's how you start learning.
Uh-huh. Just think of yourself. Find yourself.
Everyone, grab a partner.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Listening to the best of the Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back.
Oh, amazing.
It is time for... No, she's done... She's taken all the wine. I asked her to save me some. And
take a smidgen out of my glass.
So how dare
get some from my glass, Whitten.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to Drunk Advice Live. And guess what? We are live on Facebook Live, on FUBAR Radio's Facebook page. You can watch the video.
Yeah.
There's your camera, Mel, that
where
one.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey. And you can watch us as well as listening to us if you fancy. And it is time for Drunk Advice.
Wait, hold on. No.
Hannah, you're wit.
Making a mess. I fucked it. There you go. Whatever.
That seems idiot. About even.
Thanks, love.
You're welcome.
All right, everyone. Welcome to Drunk Advice. You've been on Drunk Advice before.
Oh, I have indeed. Well, it was a glorious day.
It was a great time.
And there are three rules to Drunk Advice.
There are three.
Rule number one, be drunk. If you don't drink, be in the spirit of drunk. I'm like, we've had half a bottle of wine each, basically. And like, we're both lightweights, like we said. So I'm like,
I think I'm between drunk and between the spirit of drunk. I'm very much in a happy place.
Happy place. That's always a good thing. And rule number two is have a friend with you.
Mel.
Hannah.
Whitten.
Melanie Murphy.
Whitten.
Hannah Whitten. So good to have you back.
Dirty bitch.
You dirty bitch. And rule number three is don't take our advice. Don't do it.
Just ignore everything we're about to say. But listen anyway. Don't go anywhere.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Mel, don't say these people's names. Just preface with that. You're just like, oh,
covering
God.
My mouth.
Oh, God. Do you see anyone? Do you see any that you like?
On this? Ooh, these are questions.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. These are the questions.
Oh, I like the name Emily. That's a cute name. I'm not going to say the names.
Mel, I'm just going to ask a different question. Anyway, okay. So here's one. There's a girl I'm into and she's legit into me, but I can't talk to her. Help, please.
Ooh, okay.
How do you know that she's legit into you?
Yeah, so, all right, if you've been told that she definitely likes you by a mutual friend, tell her how you feel. But if you're just guessing, what I would do is, when you're in a situation where you're comfortable and you're alone with her, make lots of eye contact and do lots of the usual flirty flirtations and just see if she reciprocates. Because maybe she wouldn't, because she might be shy. She might be nervous, but...
It sounds like you're both shy.
Yeah.
And in those kind of situations, it's like, I personally find it really hard to relate as a confident person. I'm just like, just tell them how you feel. Just like, what's the matter? Just go up and talk to them.
I'm confident the one that I find it really difficult with girls for some reason. Because I'm always like, I'm feeling a vibe here, but I don't actually know. And you know how annoyed I am at myself? I found out recently that this girl that I had a huge crush on, I'm not going to say who she is, but she's like an Irish TV presenter. Leave it at that. I found out she's a lesbian, and I didn't know that. And when I met her, I was like, there's no way she'd ever be gay or into girls. Like, she's just so perfect. And, like, I have this whole thing of, like, just the whole bullshit that people put onto bisexual and gay people a lot of the time. You just think, but then she was lesbian, and I never flirted because I thought that she would think I was being weird. And now I'm really annoyed at myself.
Well, you're going to have to meet her again.
Girl is weird, lady, tell her. Or
lesbian
flirt with
Irish
her.
TV presenter. I mean, like, shouldn't be many. Like, maybe there's loads of them.
There's not many at all.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I've found too many. No.
Think what you have to think is you have to almost, like, scare yourself into talking to this girl, because you've got to think like that situation with Mel. Like, oh my God, I wish I had.
You up.
Like, I wish I had. Like, what? Like, you don't want to be in a situation in the future where you're like, God damn it, why didn't I? Like, mm-hmm. what if? Mm-hmm. And you just go for it. And also, like, what's, like, you don't have that fear that a lot of people have, which is like that fear of rejection. You know this person likes you.
Yeah.
They like probably, you.
They want like to hug you. They want to kiss you. They want to fuck you.
Well, I don't know how old these people are, but yeah. but you know what I mean? It's like, just go for it.
Go on.
But also, you don't have to necessarily, like, go up to them and be like, I like you. You can just start talking to them. Also, hold on. Actually, I've just realized a whole other spanner in the works, and what? We need to move on to another question. But how do you both know that you like each other when you haven't talked?
Yeah, I know.
Like, maybe you should talk to each other and then, like, realize actually you don't like each other.
She doesn't even
clearly at the moment you just like the idea of each other. There's this poem which is called "The Two Cures for Love."
Oh my God!
I can't remember the poet's name, but it's called "The Two Cures for Love," and I'm totally gonna like butcher it up here, but it's like, number one, don't call him, don't see him, don't write a letter. Number two, the easier way, get to know him better. And so it's the idea of, like, you infatuate and, like, you fantasize about the idea of people, and then actually the best way to get over someone is just to get to know them better. And you're like, you're actually not that great.
Yeah, you put people on these pedestals and it's ridiculous. Like, I've done that so many times myself.
My recommendation is just go talk to them and, like, maybe find out that you don't actually like them. Awesome. Anyway, maybe you do still like each other. That would be great. Right, here we go. Okay, would you... so I think this is kind of like more in response to the conversation that we were having earlier about like sexual history and experience and stuff. And this person has said, would you date someone who doesn't have much sexual experience? If yes, how would you feel about that?
I absolutely would, because I can mold them and teach them. Yeah. And they're like a little toy, and you can just... that would be amazing.
I genuinely feel like it doesn't matter at all. Like, it's not even a case of, they have more experience, so they're going to be better in bed. Because it doesn't actually matter, because even if they have had experience with other people before, they're really good at pleasing that person.
Personally,
they're not really good at pleasing you. And so you have to think of it as starting with a blank page.
Yeah.
And it may be a case of, like, one thing that maybe having a lot more sexual partners can give you is confidence. Mm-hmm. And so it might, maybe in that area, you have to kind of, like, help build them up a bit. But, like, you never know. Mm-hmm. But in terms of, like, technique...
Yeah, it's always work.
It's always starting from scratch kind of thing, and like figuring each other out and like really taking the time. The other thing is that there is definitely a trend. I don't know what it's like with women, but with men who have like had a lot of sexual partners, often they find it hard to take criticism because they're like, I slept with X amount of women. I know what I'm doing.
My ex came 5 times every time we had sex, and I'm like, yeah, well, I still haven't come once. So just like, listen to me. I've only had sex with one person who was they had sex with a lot of people, like loads and loads and loads of people. And while the confidence and, you know, all that stuff was there, I still would give a bit of input because I liked things a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, people will get used to things in you know, because a lot of the, like, say this guy, for example, a lot of the girls that he would sleep with would just kind of be just happy to sleep with him, and they would just do whatever he wanted to do or whatever. And that when I spoke up and said, well, can we do it this way?
it was like that. I was like, I slapped him in the face. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it was so silly.
So what we're saying is basically, if there is no experience, not a big deal. It's more about the person and that individual relationship that you have with them.
Exactly.
And level of experience, how no matter how big or small it is irrelevant.
Exactly.
IMO. Here we go. Mel, this is one for you.
Oh.
I've been considering coming out as bisexual for a while now, but I have a boyfriend of nearly 2 years and don't want him to be offended or believe I've lost interest. How should I tell him and my friends without doing this? Context, okay. I'm 18 and female. Were you out as bi when you were in relationships with men?
So with my first boyfriend and my second boyfriend, both long-term, they both knew I was bi and like, well, I never used the word bi because I didn't really know what that meant until like halfway through my first relationship. We had a break and then I kissed a girl at a party and then like she told me she was bi and I was like, what?
What is that? What is that?
But I just always knew I liked girls as well. And they both knew. So, for example, my second long-term boyfriend, when I met him, he was hooking up with the girl or trying to hook up with the girl that I had just been hooking up with. And that was one of our first conversations together. And I really warmed to the fact that he was unjudgmental about it.
Yeah.
You know, and it just became this kind of thing between us. When I, like, I talked to him more about being bi, and we'd have these little games where if we were on a bus or walking down a street, we would be like, would we both like be into the same person here? Or if we're watching a movie, we'd be like, which one do you find attractive out of the girls? But what you need to realize, I'm going to answer your question. Yeah. What you need to realize here is that your sexuality has nothing to do with the person you're with at any one time. So someone can be straight and they might be single for their entire life. You can be bisexual and you can be married to a man or a woman for 50 years. Your sexuality is what you're attracted to and what you are stimulated by and what you think about and stuff like that. So
yeah, because your sexual behaviour is not the same as your sexuality.
I think realising and accepting that, first of all, and communicating that if you do want to talk to him about it. Like, if you're saying I've been considering coming out as a bisexual, if you really want to get this off your chest to the person that you love and talk to them about it, you should feel comfortable doing that, I believe.
I know a couple friends, like, off, like, I think they've both spoken about this online, so I feel comfortable saying. So Elena Fender and Ash Hardell.
Yes.
Both kind of came to terms with their own bisexuality, pansexuality, whilst in relationships with men.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've also made a video about this, so I'd highly recommend watching that. But in both of their instances, it was a very positive outcome.
Yeah.
It was just like talking to, being open and talking to their partner and saying, I'm bi, but also like being reassuring in the sense that like, this is me, this is about my personal sexuality, and it has no
bearing
impact
on what I
on
have
our
with you.
Relationship.
Yes.
I think that's one thing that you just have to separate. Like, this is my personal sexuality, and everyone, even if you're in a relationship, is entitled to their own private sexual life, their own sex life, their own private sex life, and their own private sexuality separate from their partner.
Absolutely.
And so I think that you have to kind of like strike that balance of like, this is my personal sexuality, which is I'm bisexual, but me with you, me in this relationship that we're in, that is this, and that's not changed.
Like, literally the last person that I kind of was dating,
but also
for a
if they're just like no, then dump them. They're like, what's that?
Yeah, no, don't like let anyone ever make you feel, because it's something you can't change about yourself, and you shouldn't have to change yourself to fit for someone else.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna answer some more drunk advice questions right after this.
To the best of the Hannah Witten Show on FUBAR Radio.
Are you going to introduce us or we just start talking?
Oh, well, I think you answered the question there.
I kind of did. It made it a redundant question.
This week in the studio, I have the Fratocrats with me, Mike and Jacob Truman.
Say hello, Jacob. Get off your phone.
I was putting it on airplane mode.
You should have done that ages ago.
Oh, you don't have to do that. Who wants to say the... I'll do it. How does everyone feel about that?
You're a host.
We really don't have a choice.
Hi, guys. My older sister hates my boyfriend and keeps telling me to break up with him
because she thinks I can do better. I like him a lot, and I'm genuinely hurt that she doesn't support me. What can I do?
See, I kind of need more information.
Yeah,
from
like
that.
What is it that she
what
actually doesn't
she
like with
about him?
Because if she's just like I just don't like him, fuck her then. If she's got a legitimate, like, he has a criminal record, fair enough.
He always carries a knife. Like, he's always just holding a knife.
That motherfucker is strapped.
I've seen you cry over him, like, 3 or 4 times now.
Yeah. If there are genuine bad traits, then...
Listen. So here's the thing. Your family are kind of people who can tell you very straight if someone is not... And they don't have to worry about you not liking them. Because they're family.
Yeah. You can say horrible shit to them and they have to like you still.
Exactly. And so I wouldn't...
You cunt.
I wouldn't necessarily, like, take what your sister says at gospel.
Yeah.
But I would also, like, maybe try and... Rather than completely dismissing her and being like, you don't know him the way I know him. Blah, fuck doing yeah. that. Be like, why? Sit down and be like, why don't you like him? Tell yeah. me, adult to adult... What
you need to you need to ask like what is the actual problem because mm-hmm. if she just doesn't like him if it's just a vibe that she's getting
if she's got a hunch tell her to fuck off
fuck the hunches but she needs solid evidence
but if she has
pictures of him robbing a bank sure yeah. that's I can't be with you you're a thief
yeah
sure that. Done. That was a good answer.
Also, hates is a really strong word. I feel like maybe the older sister has previously been involved with this person and treated her bad. And
I know that.
I'm just like, I'm putting layers in here. Do not listen to me.
You know what that reminds me of? Mm. Once me and Michael were walking to work, we work at the same place. Spoiler alert.
Oh my God, and you live together.
I know.
Oh
it's
God.
Like we're twins or something. And we were walking to work and everyone was coming out of Old Street Station. We work in Shoreditch, mm-hmm. just so you know. Everyone was coming out of Old Street Station and there was a woman on her phone just screaming down the phone just like and fuck you and you did this to me and you're horrible having a massive argument with someone
my God.
And we walked past her like oh my God and I said oh my God I think she's having some problems I can't remember what I said but as we were walking past a woman turned to us both of us and says I think that her husband's cheated on her and I turned to her and went you would think that and we both just laughed we both
hilarious.
Just went
it was a real Sex in the City moment
it was a Sex in the City moment based off of a woman's pain
I mean that's the best moments come out of other people's
and then
pain.
We both just went off to our jobs and never saw each other again
or thought
but we had a
that.
Good London moment
I love that next question hope we helped
we're putting the world to right here
Oh, that's a bit heavy. Let's fuck that one. Here we go. I have a crush on a guy half my age. What do I do?
Depending on your age.
Exactly. Why don't you guys give us context? How old are you? How old are they?
If you are 18, you are a paedophile.
If you are 49, yeah.
If you're 40, look, as long as it's legal, fucking go for it. I mean, there is the issue of like, can we really truly relate? Is the crush just based on looks? And
also,
stuff?
Bringing it back to the feminism issue, are we more accepting of older women who date younger men or older men who date younger women? We don't know who necessarily... Oh, it's Naomi, so
this
I assume
is
it's a woman.
I'm assuming from the name this is a woman.
You said the name.
Oh, did you? I didn't hear that. Spoiler
Shit.
Alert.
Don't say the name. Do not
well,
say
to be fair,
name.
We
didn't,
it's fine.
It could
we
be any Naomi. There are so many Naomis.
There are a lot of Naomis.
Right.
Actually, it's not Naomi. You've read it wrong. You read to the wrong...
You're
don't,
right.
Don't say the actual real name now, though, but
I
it's
will
this person.
Not. What I would say is my advice.
I have, yes.
My advice. Where'd you get Naomi from, then? My advice is, if they're legal, there is no real reason why it can't work.
Yeah.
But be cautious.
My grandmother and granddad...
What was the age difference?
Double.
Jesus.
Oh, wow.
24 years.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Jesus, how old were they?
I mean, when my dad was born, she was 24, he was 48.
Oh.
Damn.
And they stayed together until he died.
And then she...
Nothing. Just
no more dick.
Oh, this is my granny. Jesus Christ.
Oh, this is what grosses you out?
It's just she has dogs and she's a gardener.
She's
and therefore entirely asexual.
Hannah, she is still a sexual person. How dare you shame your grandma?
I mean, I don't know. She's never like dated anyone since then.
Well,
so
that
I
you know
really.
Of. She goes to fetish clubs for all you know.
She has a shed.
Granny!
She has a shed filled with battery-powered dildos.
She actually used to teach sex ed, my granny.
This is what I'm saying. She
doesn't.
She just
like,
doesn't tell you. She spares you the gory details.
I don't know. Maybe
she's written a few Sibians in her life.
I should ask her.
Don't.
I should ask her. No, I actually will. All right. That's definitely something that I would do.
Next question.
Do one of you boys want to read out this one?
I have dyslexia, so you can fucking do it.
I've been a vegetarian for a while because my boyfriend is, but I've started eating meat again, but I haven't told him as he'd be disgusted. How can I tell him and still get him to love me?
This depends if he loves you more than vegetables.
Yeah, but this is a whole ethics issue. If he thinks that you're killing things, if he's so passionate that he thinks you're killing things,
it depends.
And that's a big stick in the mud.
It depends what kind of vegetarian he is. Some vegetarians are like, you know, I don't eat meat because I'm, you know, because I think it's morally wrong, blah blah blah. And I was a vegetarian for a year, so I know the whole deal about it. And then some vegetarians are very sort of like, you know, this is just how I feel. Since you've said he'd be disgusted, he strikes me as the kind that is very sort of, I don't want to say radical or sort of like militant about it, but
yeah.
He seems like he's very odd and has very strong opinions about it.
I think you've got a tough road ahead. Sorry.
Here's the thing, though. If you're in a relationship with someone, people often have deal breakers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
that was a big part of 30 Rock with Tina Fey's character, Liz Lemon. She had a whole show. Initially, she was going to have a whole show called Deal Breaker. That's a deal breaker. So the whole point was that she'd discuss like relationships and say what is and what isn't a deal breaker.
Oh, I love Tina Fey.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't?
Anyway. Back to the vegetarianism.
Yes.
I don't know what to say about this.
I feel like, so say you need to find out if that's a deal breaker for him. Because if you keep lying in this relationship, then he is going to be loving a version of you that isn't you. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
And you want someone to love you for like all of you.
You have to be honest.
You've got to be like,
communication is key.
I eat some McDonald's chicken nuggets every now and then.
I put meat betwixt my teeth.
Nom, 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 nom. Meat.
You've got to be honest. I don't think it's something you can just like get away. You can't just keep it on the down low.
You can't.
No.
And the thing is that like, maybe he'll surprise you and be like, I still love you, just don't eat meat around me. Or like when we're together, we can be veggie, and you'll be like, cool.
There are some people who like aren't full vegetarians that just like don't eat meat in the week. They mm-hmm. just keep it as a weekend thing.
Can I just say,
Meat Mondays?
I'm definitely drunk right now.
I didn't know where that was going.
I haven't felt it yet.
I sort of just like zoned out for a second and then came back in and was like, whoa.
Oh, what's happened? I've been gone.
I haven't felt it yet.
Jesus
Christ.
Two
beers a night is kind of like my thing, so
Mike's an alcoholic.
Okay.
I'm not an alcoholic.
We're going to let you either keep getting drunk or sobering up during this song, and then we'll be back with some more drunk advice.
Oh, she can wait for what I can give.
You're listening to the best of the Hannah Witten Show on FUBAR Radio.
All right, guys, it is Drunk Advice Live.
Drad Vice.
Right. Oh, also, this is Daniel J. Layton.
Hi.
Oh, here we go. Hello, Hannah and Dan. First time I'm in a fuck buddies type situation.
Ooh.
What are the rules in your opinion? Like how and how often can you contact each other and say something like, yo, kind of want to do the dirty? Are you down? I'm so lost. Don't want to fuck it up because he's hot AF. And I don't know how I found myself in this situation, honestly.
So two things. First of all, never say, yo, kind of want to do the dirty. Are you down?
I would if you know that they will laugh at it in a good way.
Okay, fine.
That's fine.
I think in that situation, when you're in that kind of relationship with someone, you need to set out the ground rules. Like, you actively need to have a chat and say,
don't ask us, ask them.
Yeah, like, what do you want from this? What do I want from this?
Mm-hmm.
And set out your stall, and that way you're both on the same page and there's never any sort of, like, games. I think just communicate. Well, communication's the key to any good relationship.
Yeah.
But if you get to the point where you can be fuck buddies and just sort of go... I mean, the point is, there are supposed to be no feelings in a fuck buddy relationship. It's just you're doing this for the fun.
Think of it as doing the admin.
Yeah.
Like, what days are you free? When can I contact you? How much is too much? Just let me know. I'll fill out the paperwork and then we'll do the dirty.
Also, if you want to just get it on, I think, and you have a fuck buddy and you have established that this is what you do together, you're allowed to just text them and go, yo, wanna fuck? I think that's completely fine.
I think that's fine.
Yeah. But if you're saying, don't wanna fuck it up because he's hot AF, I'm concerned that you have more feelings than fuck buddy.
I mean, she said that she doesn't want to fuck up because he's hot, not because he's an amazing human.
That just sounds a little bit too... I don't know. I
maybe she's just... this. Well, I don't know if this is a sheep, but maybe this person is, like, really excited about just having regular sex.
With a hot person.
With a really hot person.
Which is completely understandable.
Like, I get that.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
No, that's fair.
But also,
I've assumed. Bad of me. Bad of me.
But and also, it's your first time doing a fuck buddy kind of thing. So, yeah. But I would set ground rules. Doesn't matter that it's only fuck buddy. You still need the ground rules. And
it's got to be healthy.
It doesn't have to be a weird serious moment.
I think it's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
If you're being fuck buddies, you're having fun together.
Hey, let's have sex. But like, how often do you want to have sex? Can we just like text each other whenever?
Also, or it's a great way to explore what you like.
Yeah.
Like, so just be like, we can try things together and then it'll go wrong and actually I won't judge you.
It makes me really sad that it's often the people that we're the most intimate with that we can't have intimate conversations with.
That's my favourite part of being in a relationship.
Is having those conversations.
Yeah. That's what I miss. More than anything else in a relationship. Having that kind of person there at 2 a.m. to talk about shit with.
Shit with, especially like how you want the D.
Yeah. Well, not so much how I want the D.
But like how you want to give it.
Well.
Anyway.
I think you're still playing the game.
Do you want to read one?
Yes, from Twitter. Advice for a girl who is socially awkward and wants to be in a relationship. Please, I need help.
I mean, this... I'll always question it when people say I want to be in a relationship in general. Because I feel like you don't really need any advice until you come with a question that's like, I want to be in a relationship with this person.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but at the same time, like, I would be in a relationship. It's just that
no,
I haven't
met a person. You're ready for a relationship.
Right, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess. But I understand the feeling of like, oh, I do want to be with someone. I want to be, I don't know who, but I want to be with someone. I'd like to meet someone.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
So I think this person is sort of asking, you know.
I feel like being socially awkward is fine.
I have found the more I like myself, the more people like me. And I know that's hard, but I think before you start wondering how to get into a relationship, just start wondering how to enjoy the positive things about you, of which I'm sure there are many.
I feel like if you think of yourself as socially awkward, also awkwardness is subjective.
Yeah.
Because you've said you're not like socially anxious, like you don't have anxiety, or maybe you do, but you've not included that. But when people say, oh, I'm so awkward, I always just think,
I don't
like,
think many people actually are.
I don't think people are awkward.
I'm lying. I think everyone is awkward.
Yeah, but it's about how you deal with that.
Yeah.
A potentially awkward situation is only made awkward if you don't deal with it right. Yeah. Does that make sense? I think there's so many ways that you could deal with a potentially awkward situation and it not be awkward at all. But that might make it like difficult for you to put yourself out there or like meet people, but patience.
I say focus on that first and then deal with the
focus on yourself
later.
Yeah. And on that note, thanks, Dan.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on my show again.
Cheers.
Did you enjoy it live?
I enjoyed it live.
Cheers.
Very much.
Woo! If you would like to listen again to the show or to any of the other shows, you can go to fuboradio.com and download it, and it will also be available as a podcast on iTunes. We will be back next week, Wednesday, 6 until 8 p.m. Good night, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes.